Not one, not two, but three Japanese-born pitchers are pitching their way into the Cy Young Award conversation 2 months into the MLB season. But it's not who you might think. All that and more in this edition of the Japan Baseball Report.
You're listening to the Japan Baseball Report, your weekly English language podcast that provides news and notes related to Japanese baseball.
Well, the Japan Baseball Report has taken a bit of a hiatus here in the middle of the season, and we have been calling quite a few games, whether it be the Japanese games or even sneaking in a few MLB games on the YouTube channel. Hopefully you folks have been able to bounce over and enjoy the games with us, as it has taken up quite a bit of our time. 55 games so far deep into the 2025 season, as we have a lot to say about what's going on, not just in Major League Baseball, the NPB, but with the Japanese players that are playing in the MLB as well. We're going to kick this one off with the offensive players. It is going to be that of Seiya Suzuki for the Chicago Cubs. Suzuki has had himself an impressive season. He got off to a bit of a slow start. He's got over 200 at-bats now, 219 to be exact, and making the transition to the full-time DH was not something that he initially embraced. He's got himself 59 hits on the season, of which 34 of those at the time of this recording have been for extra bases, but the impressive number is already 52 runs batted in. Chicago Cubs, with the play of Pete Crow Armstrong and also some of the others, young guns that are over there like Michael Bush, as well as Kyle Tucker, have the Northsiders really excited about the play. Suzuki, at the time of this recording, had a 269 batting average, and he's been reaching base at a 333 clip, as well as a slugging percentage of 562. So Suzuki has been everything and more of what the Cubs have expected, and this is about the time of the year that we'd like to keep our eyes on him, because can he stay healthy for a good, solid stretch during the summer months in Major League Baseball? Well, that is the first one out of the gate. The second one is of Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani has been pretty good, doing obviously really well at the plate this year. But the big news on Saturday in their blowout win over the New York Yankees was Shohei was caught having a nap by the camera. And who knows, he had a child earlier this year, and maybe he's getting a little extra sleep in on the side. But realistically, last week was the big news, was he, it was reported that Ohtani threw his second bullpen session in a week. And at that time, it was a 29-pitch session to minor leaguers. So Ohtani is building up and getting himself ready to get back onto the mound for the Dodgers in some capacity. But offensively, he is still leading Major League Baseball in home runs. At the time of this recording, he had 22 homers, 37 RBIs. He was hitting 295. Also had stolen 11 bases, walking 37 times, but striking out 66 times in the 227 at-bats. There's no doubt about it, the Dodgers' three-headed monster of Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman will give them an opportunity to push their way into the playoffs and potentially back to the World Series if they can get everybody firing on all cylinders later in the year. Our next up is Masataka Yoshida on the offensive side of things. And this is a bit of a challenge. The Boston Red Sox outfielder had off-season shoulder surgery. He had a torn labrum. And for those of you who may or may not know, his labrum surgery was very similar to that of Shohei Ohtani's offseason, but the difference is this was to Masataka Yoshida's throwing arm. Ohtani had the non-throwing surgery. Well, he received a cortisone shot on May the 4th. It was reported on May 24th, Yoshida played catch from 60 feet. He basically was rehabbing. They had to shut him down, and now he's basically restarting a post-operative throwing program. He's not even close to being game ready. The Red Sox have come out and said that he has to play a position for him when he does come back, because Rafi Devers has taken over as the full-time DH. With that move to full-time DH, obviously Yoshida's going to need to play a position in the outfield, which is already overcrowded. And what will the outfield mix look like when he returns? Well, that remains to be seen, as it doesn't include the promotion of Roman Anthony right now, but with Jaron Duran, Willier Abreu, and Sedeno Rafaela. There's been rumors swirling that the San Diego Padres may be interested in Jaron Duran, but I don't know if anybody would be interested in Yoshida at this point unless he can come back, show that he's healthy, and be productive before somebody makes a move for him. The other part is with the Red Sox, with three more years left on his contract, he may be on the hook to have to pick up some of that if they ended up dealing Masataka Yoshida to somebody else. Well, that's the offensive picture so far for those who are playing in Major League Baseball. We'll be back in just a couple moments with our pitching, and there's a lot of pitching to talk about this time around. Lots of good baseball happening, and certainly that'll be something that we want to take a look at as well. We'll be back in just a couple moments after this break. You are listening to the Japan Baseball Report, brought to you by Last Drafts Baseball. If you are into the NPB, be sure to join us for our listening parties and live English commentary on the Last Drafts Baseball YouTube channel beginning March 28th, 2025. If you're just here for the podcast, it can be found on YouTube and wherever you download your podcasts. Welcome back, everybody. It is the pitchers that we're turning our attention to now. And we are going to kick it off with Roki Sasaki. Well, since April 16th, Sasaki has landed himself on the injured list as he has a shoulder impingement. The timeline for his return is late June. And let's call a spade, Sasaki has come to North America with a lot of fanfare. The Dodgers are not paying him a whole lot of money. He's making the minimum, which is around $760,000. But if you've listened to our streams on YouTube last year, my opinion on Sasaki was this. He has a plus fastball and a plus splitter or forkball. Outstanding. Both pitches plus. But to pitch and to start in Major League Baseball, make it abundantly clear, you're going to need to have some sort of changeup to keep those hitters off balance. And I'm not really sold on his breaking ball as of right now. So early season, Roki was 1-1 through eight starts. And to think about it, in eight starts, he'd only worked 34 and a third innings, just over four innings a start. 29 hits, 18 runs allowed, all of which were earned. But the alarming number is the 22 walks in those 34 and a third innings. He's also struck out 24 and pitched to a 4.50 ERA with a whip of 1.49. But ultimately, if Sasaki comes back, he is going to have to be able to fill up the zone with strikes. And I really think there's some refinement that has to take place in his game before they start moving a little bit further with him. He'd probably be better served on a rehabilitation stint down in AAA. And as we said, working on a couple of more pitches to add to his arsenal. Next up is his teammate, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And Yamamoto is one of the ones that when we were alluding to a Cy Young Award candidate, this is one right here for the taking. He is 6-4 on the season. And I don't know if he's a leading candidate or the number one candidate. Certainly Paul Skeens will be in the mix. Zach Wheeler will be there too. Unfortunately for Mackenzie Gore, if he had a winning record, but his numbers are pretty solid for the Washington Nationals. There are a lot of players in the mix who could possibly get the Cy Young, but Yamamoto is certainly one of them for the Dodgers right now. He's had 12 starts already this year, and he's worked 67 and two-thirds innings, allowing 45 hits, 21 runs, 18 of which have been earned. He's pitched to an ERA of 2.39, but an impressive whip of only one even. Now, in his last starting against the Yankees, it was the first time this year he didn't throw at least five innings. He worked 3 2/3 as he was knocked out of that start fairly early. But that is the second time he's faced the Yankees this year. And keep your eye on Yamamoto as how he's going to rebound from that, and more than likely how he'll finish out the year. But I would think that Yamamoto is going to be in the mix for the Cy Young Award in the National League. Now, unfortunately, for some bad news, for those of you who are Hiroshima Carp fans who maybe were following Kenta Maeda and his progress through Major League Baseball, the Detroit Tiger was released as they had cut him loose. He appeared in seven games for the Tigers this year, working eight innings. He'd given up nine hits, eight runs, seven of which were earned, pitching to an ERA of 7.88, walking six in that time frame. Well, after the Tigers let him go, the Chicago Cubs signed him to a minor league deal. And in three starts with the Cubs, he has been absolutely horrific. And I feel bad because really Maeda, when he pitched with the Dodgers, he was fun to watch. Even when he went over to the Minnesota Twins, he gave the Twins something as well. But I think it is pretty much understood that Maeda's days as a big leaguer may be coming to an end here in North America. He has 6 2/3 innings under his belt for the Cubs at AAA, and he's got an ERA of 24.3. On top of it, he's allowed 18 hits in those 6 2/3 innings of work and walked 7. So I really think that Maeda's days as a big leaguer are coming close to a finish, unfortunately for him. We'll be back in just a few as we will continue on here with the Japan Baseball Report. Stick around, everybody. More to come after this. You are listening to the Japan Baseball Report, brought to you by Last Ramps Baseball. Join our Facebook group called NPB Japan Baseball Report. Connect with other fans of the Japanese game. If you aren't on Facebook, be sure to bookmark our YouTube channel for live events in the 2025 season. Our next up is Los Angeles Angels Yusei Kikuchi. I think the Angels may have found their ace despite the win-loss record of 1-5. Kikuchi has been pretty solid. Something that is also to note is not only has Kikuchi been solid, but so far the Angels' starting pitchers have not missed a start since the beginning of the year. The only team, I believe, left in Major League Baseball to be on that path. But Kikuchi at 1-5 in his 12 starts, he's had a solid season, not enough support, and he hasn't missed a start, as we mentioned. And as of June the 1st, he's worked 64 2/3 innings, allowing 63 hits, 25 runs, 22 have been earned, walking 35 and striking out 58 with an ERA of 3.06. The thing with Kikuchi, when he left the Blue Jays last year to go to Houston, the turning point for him with the Astros is they started to use his four-seam fastball a lot more frequently and started to shelve some of the off-speed pitches. So in Toronto, there was more of an off-speed type of mix that they were asking him to do, whereas he was attacking hitters with a different mindset in Houston. And by all accounts, he's been taking that with him into Los Angeles as well. So keep your eye on Kikuchi, as well as the Angels. They're punching a little bit above their weight right now, and I think that the first of 3 years that they've given Kikuchi will pay off in the end. A veteran left-hander who could throw strikes and be around the zone is exactly what the Angels have there. Well, as we continue our Cy Young conversation, we got to think about Tomoyuki Sugano. He is pitching his way into a conversation of being a Cy Young candidate. On the season, he's 5-3, and at the time of this recording, got a 7-inning start against the Seattle Mariners in his 12th start of the year. He's worked 71 innings, allowing 63 hits, 24 runs, all of which have been earned, walking 11 and striking out 40. Now, the Orioles have fired their manager, and they have been playing pretty inconsistent baseball, but one thing that has been steady has been the steady influence of the veteran right-hander Sugano. Three of his 5 starts in May were quality, and he's picked up with his first start in the month of June against the Mariners with a quality start as well. So look for Sugano to continue to pitch his way. If he can get on a roll here, the American League Cy Young is certainly up for grabs, much like the National League. Tariq Skubal, the reigning candidate, probably is knocking on the door, but can't overlook Max Fried and Carlos Rodon pitching for the Yankees. Both of them have had solid seasons. Who knows where Sugano will fit in the mix. All he's got to do is just keep doing what he does best, and that's pitching, throwing strikes, and making sure he's able to keep the hitters off balance, as he always done in his career in Japan. Our next up is Shota Imanaga. Imanaga has been on the injured list since May the 5th, and he had a second side session last week. And the reason he was on the injured list is got nothing to do with his arm, but it was a left hamstring strain. So that has knocked him out. And if you think about Cy Young candidates, he would have definitely been in that mix. In his 8 starts this year, he had a 3-2 record. But in 44 2/3 innings, he had struck out 34 batters. He'd allowed 35 hits, giving up 15 runs, 14 earned, while he had an ERA of 2.82 and a whip of 1.1. Imanaga, the leader for the Cubs, as far as the pitching staff is concerned, and they've done pretty well even without him. This Cubs ball club is going to be very, very dangerous And they have got them playing pretty good ball. Craig Counsell is pulling all the right strings in the Windy City. And it'll be a nice shot in the arm when Imanaga is able to make his return. Next up on our list is that of Kodai Senga and the Ghost Fork. And that would be our third pitcher who is pitching his way into the Cy Young conversation. 6-3 on the year at the time of this recording and 11 starts. He's worked 62 innings, allowing 45 hits, 14 runs, 11 of which have been earned. He's got the league best 1.60 ERA and a whip of 1.18. While Senga, who missed quite a bit of last year, has come back with vengeance this year for the Mets and certainly will be a centerpiece that will be counted on from now to the end of the season, anchoring that staff in New York. We're going to head to the West Coast, where we're going to take a quick look at Yuki Matsui. Matsui is one of two San Diego Japanese pitchers. Matsui 1-1 on the season, got a victory in the game on Tuesday against the San Francisco Giants. He's appeared in 25 games. Early on in the season, he was getting some high leverage situations, but he's run into a little bit of a rut lately. He's been roughed up a bit. 24 innings pitched. He's allowed 18 hits, 10 runs, 9 of which has been earned, 11 walks and 16 Ks, pitching to an earned run average of 3.38. One of the things that Suzuki, when he came across from Tohoku, the knock on him was using too many pitches to have to get batters out at the back end of the ballgame. I remember seeing him when he pitched 25, 30 some odd pitches in a ninth inning to get the save, and really having to work, not being able to have that one pitch that could finish the hitters off. Well, you could see that sometimes in Matsui, is not able to command his pitches, not getting a lot of life on the pitch. At the same point in time, hitters being able to really battle him deep into counts to wear him down. The 5'8" Matsui has been steady for the Padres. He's only in the second year of the 5-year deal that they had given him. Well, our last Padre is that of Yu Darvish, and this has been an interesting piece. Darvish has not pitched as of Monday, June the 2nd, and he was slated to throw a bullpen on Monday. There's all kinds of different things that are swirling around his camp. On May 14th, he had a rehab start down in AAA, and he left early. And he was quoted as saying, at least Darvish was, saying that he needs to find a new routine. Now, Heath Bell, the longtime and former closer of the San Diego Padres, he was speculating this week that there could be a slight tear or maybe something more going on in the arm of Darvish. Right now, they say there's no ligament damage and it didn't require surgery, his injury. But keep your eye on that one because it is getting a little bit deeper into the season. And obviously, there is the concern with Darvish if he has that problem. They still have a couple more years on his contract. So Darvish is still in a situation where he's under team control for a couple more years. The Padres definitely want to get more out of him before the season's end. We're going to take another little time out, and we're going to come back in just a moment as we're going to look at the players that didn't break camp but are still in organized ball in the United States. We'll be right back after this.
The Japan Baseball Report has been brought to you by Last Drafts Baseball. If you would like to reach us with questions or comments, our email address is info@lastdraftsbaseball.com. We'll respond to as many comments and questions in the upcoming episodes that we can. We appreciate your listenership and look forward to seeing you at one of our live stream listening parties this season.
Next up is Shintaro Fujinami. Meant Fuji landed in the Seattle Mariner organization this year. He didn't break camp with the club, but he is down in AAA Tacoma. And really, it is hard to watch Fujinami sometimes, although he has been pitching better lately. Hard to walk away from 100-plus mile-an-hour fastball. He was a 4-time NPB All-Star with the Hanshin Tigers, but he is not anywhere near that type of caliber pitcher in Major League Baseball. He's appeared in 18 games for the Rainiers, 15 2/3 innings pitched, 9 hits allowed. That's pretty good, but he's given up 13 runs, 12 have been earned. But the alarming number is walking 23 batters in those 15 2/3 innings. That's simply not good enough to keep a job in the MLB. He does have 18 strikeouts, which is interesting because he does get more than one per inning. but he's got a fluffed up ERA at 6.89 and a whip of over 2 in the early going. So when you look at a guy like Fujinami, I've mentioned it in some of our streams before. I think of the Detroit Tigers a number of years ago when they had a pitcher named Bruce Rondon, who threw 100+. And after the Tigers went, well, I don't know, 4 or 5 years of up and down, he finally walked away from him. He ended up in White Sox camp, and then he is out of baseball. He might have been with the Royals a little bit too, but was not able to get the command and control on that 100-mile-an-hour pitch. I often wonder sometimes if you take a little bit of something off it, does it improve your movement? And will that be able to get you over the hump? But Fujinami certainly has all the power in the arm. He has the tools, but do his tools play? And right now the answer to that is no. Our next up that we're going to look at it is going to be Shinsuke Ogasawara. Well, Ogasawara didn't make the Nationals out of camp. It was a fight for the fifth and final spot. The former Chunichi Dragon has landed in AAA, but he was placed on the AAA injured list in mid-April with an oblique injury. Just as he was starting to finally pitch better at the AAA level, he had a record of 1-1. In his three starts, he'd worked 15 innings, allowed 16 hits, 9 runs, 8 of which were earned. His walk-to-strikeout ratio was pretty good. He'd only walked 4 and struck out 12, pitching to a 4.8 ERA. But Ogasawara, a lot more expected of him. There's a couple-year contract that he's been given by the Nationals. So we'll see what happens between now and the end of the year. Mackenzie Gore, obviously the leader now of that staff. And then there's a lot of mystery. Jake Irvin, DJ Mers, others. But we'll have to wait and see how this is going to shape up for Ogasawara as it moves forward. Another one that is down on the farm is Koyo Aoyagi. Aoyagi, well, the former Hanshin Tiger, was absolutely roughed up, not very good in the spring. And right now he is 0-1, but he has worked in 15 ball games, and he's got 13 and two-thirds innings pitched, allowing 11 hits, 8 runs, 5 of which have been earned. Another concern here is the walks. He is 1 per inning. He's got 13 walks in 13 and two-thirds innings. That's simply not good enough. He has struck out 12 batters, and he's got himself a 3.29 ERA. But Aoyagi is the one that I think you're going to have to keep an eye on. The other piece to this is because of the way that he throws, he's a sidewinder. He'll keep hitters off balance and potentially be able to allow him to have some success a little bit down the trail, but he's going to have to get the command of his pitches, certainly if he's going to be able to face major league hitters. Well, the last one is a bit of a unique one, and it's an added on one to our Japan report. It is Tomo Otosaka, and for those of you who may remember, he was with the Yokohama DeNA Bay Stars. He also had an opportunity to play in the Mexican and Venezuelan Winter Leagues. So he was an 8-year veteran with the Bay Stars in the NPB. And in May, he signed on with the AAA Tacoma Rainiers with the Seattle Mariners as outfield depth. He was playing in the Atlantic League at the time, an independent league, which a lot of guys will use as a springboard back to Major League Baseball. The 31-year-old, 5'11", 182-pound outfielder, as we said, given them some depth. I thought that was rather interesting. He also played for Leon and Saltillo of the Mexican League, as well as Yucatan. In the Venezuelan Winter League, he had spent time with Margarita, and so he is getting an opportunity. He's only 3-for-17 in the early goings of his career with the Seattle Mariners organization, with a slash line at no homers and 1 RBI with no stolen bases. So curious to see how he is going to perform moving forward. That is Tomo Otosaka. We'll come right back in just a moment, and then we'll wrap this one up for you on the Japan Baseball Report. It is Major League Baseball Roundup with all the Japanese players. Right back after this.
Are you into slow motion video of hitting and pitching mechanics? Last Ross Baseball's YouTube channel has been updating our database. During the 2025 season, we'll be uploading more video with our thoughts and analysis. If you're just here for the podcast, you're listening to the Japan Baseball Report, found on the Last Grouse Baseball YouTube channel and wherever you download your podcasts.
Well, We've got some catch up to do as we are behind on our podcasts, and it is going to be interleague play that got going last night in the Japanese League. They play 18 games over the span of 3 weeks, and they do that in the month of June this year. So be sure to check us out on our YouTube channel. We'll be calling some of the games, and hopefully you guys can make it in for those as well. We'll give you some more updates from the Japanese League over the next couple of days, as well as the import players that are playing in the Japanese League as well. Certainly a couple of players are making some serious impact. Trey Cabbage, Sandro Fabian in the Central League offensively, enjoying great first seasons over in Japan. Thanks again, everybody, for checking us out. And we'll be back again with another Japan Baseball Report in the coming days. Appreciate you guys for listening in again.